Okay, I hate to break up social hour. Actually, I don't, but I need to say that. And thank you very much. Okay, let's begin with a word of prayer. And even though there's been a partial rapture, and we'll start. And this prayer is not a ritualistic prayer. It's an opportunity for you to test yourself, see if you're trusting in the Holy Spirit, who is a true teacher. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for this humble assembly, that you give us the opportunity to study your word, worship you, and proclaim your word through various ministries. We pray, Father, that all that we do this morning will be glorifying to you, glorifying to your Son. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Now, the House of our government passed what is called an Equality Act, and more of these things are going to challenge the Christian life. And more you're going to have to decide if you're going to follow Jesus Christ. So let's stand up and sing song number 191, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus, but think about it before you make that decision. It may cost you. I Have Decided to Follow Jesus, song number 191.
To follow Jesus, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Go with me.
First and foremost, we are so happy to have Jim Langston back with us this morning. Jim, how's it going? How was your treatment Friday?
And I have that to be thankful for, and I have one other thing that I'd like to mention as well after that. The report from the doctor was that the blood work, they could tell that the last treatment I had, which is, you know, just last week, did have reduction of the cancer cells. So that's a blessing.
Very good.
Thankful for everything we can get. It wasn't a whole lot, but it was missed progress.
Good.
All right. Second thing is, as far as things, two circumstances that could only have been directed by the Lord. I met a young lady in the summer of 1950. 58, and as time went on, things progressed. We got married in May of 1959.
I hope it's a short
If it weren't, I wouldn't be talking about it. The thing is, on Friday the 24th, we celebrate our 60th wedding. And we still talk to one another.
And it was this month. It's the 24th?
Mm-hmm. 24th.
All right. Very good.
That's right.
Friday. I knew it was this month.
Friday the 24th.
All right. Very good. Don't get too wild this Friday.
What?
Good. Okay, let's see if there's, are there any prayer requests that I'm not aware of? Any prayer requests? Yes?
Just a prayer request for Larry and Brian. They're on the way to Mexico. And Lee and Jeff as well. Just make sure they're safe. Travel.
Vacation? All right, good.
They need the rest.
All right. Very good. So we'll be a prayer for their safety during there and safety returning. Very good. And while they're there. All right, yes.
A young lady named Autumn Switzer. She went in for a biopsy. She's a junior in high school, went in for a lung biopsy on Wednesday. They're waiting for the results, but I would request, one, nothing's there. Two, that their parents, who are wonderful, faithful, devoted to God kind of people, have peace and comfort, and the docs can figure out what's going on.
Beautiful. What was the name again? First?
Autumn.
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 Okay, let's be in prayer for Autumn. Yes?
I am so happy. I have a prayer of Thanksgiving. My girlfriend Judith,
ooh, yes.
Matt,
mm-hmm.
has been on our prayer list for a long time, yes. and she has had two clear PET scans now, where they do the dye, you know, where they check to see if there's stuff, and she's been clear, and she's feeling great, and she's looking great,
praise God.
And she's doing really well.
All right, very good.
So happy.
Very good. Yes?
Just Thanksgiving. Thomas got a job. He's got 22. I don't know the name or anything. It's in a lab in Allen. Yeah. It's not the research that he wanted, but that's okay. It's working close to home. Yes.
Okay. That's the main thing. It's legal. Very good. All right. How did we do on the dinner? Do you know?
We did well. I'll update the thermometer gold thing over here when we get done, but I think we were north of $1,500, $1,600 when it was all said.
Very good. People?
It could have been higher than that, I just don't remember.
7 weeks ago we studied silent warriors. Silent warriors are those believers who pray. You can have a phenomenal effect on this camp this season, this summer. Go into prayer now by praying for the teachers, praying for the counselors, and praying for the young people. And I just tell the Lord, keep the ones away who would be a distraction. But however you want to pray, you pray. Get ready for a phenomenal camp with these young people, and just be in prayer that the Holy Spirit will start preparing them now for what they will hear at the camp. What's the theme of the camp?
Who am I?
Who am I? Who am I in Christ? And so please be in effective prayer, getting ready for camp, set up the garages, set up everything that's necessary, the finances, everything. So please be in prayer and start entering into this conflict at the camp right now. So get the kids there that he wants to have there. Okay, any other prayer requests? Yes?
My daughter, Francesca.
All right, your daughter will be in prayer. Thank you. Any other prayer requests? Yes?
Just an update that I asked for prayer about my work and my team at work. It's getting better. We actually face even more hardship, getting thrown under the bus for the unjust reasons, and we prevail. And I think the bravest thing that God put in my head that I did on Friday was to go into the director's office and say, I forgive you because God loves you. And so will I. And he almost broke down.
Good.
I don't know why I said that. but that was the good feeling that, hey, you know, you can fire me if I'm going to talk to God and I don't care.
Good.
That's kind of feeling, and I just walked away. I'm really, really happy
feeling about it. Thank you. Jerry, how many countries are we broadcasting into now?
Last count, I didn't look at it again, but last count was last month was 134.
134 countries. All right, thank you. All right. Okay, any other prayer requests? Announcement? Okay, I have a couple announcements. First of all, next Sunday, 10:30 class. If you can at all make it, please do. You will be rewarded. Where they're going to have a guest speaker, Greg Matthew. Now, Greg Matthew, the reason I know him, he has two children that have been coming to the camp for how many years? Four or five years, and then the other one less than that. And I had the privilege of sitting next to him at the dinner last week. And Greg Matthews, you never know by looking at him, but this young man encountered a 8.5-foot bear, over 600 pounds, in Alaska. He and his brother, Greg and his brother, went there for a bow and arrow trip, and he got separated from his brother, and he encountered this bear, and they went in after each other. Well, bear went in after him. And I'm going to announce it as, I fought a bear, and the Lord won. And it is going to be, you'll just hear a wonderful testimony. And he's written a book. The book will be coming out in June. And he's had quite a testimony even in writing the book. And the publisher, you know, we don't want that. And he said, they asked him, do you have anything that you just got to have in this book? He said, I don't care what you do with it as long as Jesus Christ is the hero. And so they said, well, we'll do that. And so please be here. It is a tremendously interesting testimony. And they'll have some pictures. And it's just going to be well worth next Sunday morning to hear Greg Matthew giving his story. So that'll be next Sunday morning. Now, this Wednesday night, I'll be meeting with two pastors, John Hintz and Robbie Dean in Houston. But Wednesday night, Phil is going to teach on becoming mature in Christ, spiritual maturity. So please try to come on Wednesday night for that study. He's working on that right now. You talking about the book that he's writing?
Oh, it's okay. It's not ready
yet. It's not out yet. It won't be out until next month. Okay. And he had a title. I forgot what he told me that title was, but the publisher didn't want that title because he wants a broader audience. And audience of hunters and Christians and just a whole lot of different people that it will appeal to. So they're changing the title. But I asked you the same thing. What was the title? And so please, if you can make it, Greg Matthews next week. And this bear, you know, mouth of a bear, conked half of his head out in the back. And the reason he's still alive, it's the grace of God. Grace of God. He laid down. He was a fireman for 14 years. And so at one point he just laid down on the ground flat like this. And the bear tried to roll him over, but he couldn't roll him over. So the bear literally just picked him up by his back and swung him around and threw him around. And just all kinds of things happened to this to Greg. And even getting to the hospital. It's just a story of God's grace. Just an unbelievable story. He couldn't get in the boat going across the rapids of this river. And so his brother had to take off and they found a way and they got a chopper in and all this kind of thing. And just met some wonderful people. And it's quite an interesting story. I hope his wife is able to make it. She's planning on it. He called, it's one of those kind of things I can only imagine. He calls his wife, and the first thing he says to her, I'm okay. Well, that's the first thing, you know, this is going to be bad. This is not going to be good. And so, next Sunday morning, 10:30, Wednesday night, 7:30, so please bear these things in mind. Okay. The word of God declares whatsoever man purposes in his soul to give, so let him give not grudgingly, nor of necessity, for God loveth the gracious giver. Now, it's an humble church. But God has seen fit to use this, I don't know why. All over the world, young people, publications, missionaries, and these things require finances as far as getting them done in Satan's world. Remember, Satan is the ruler. Theocracy in the garden. Theocracy in the millennium. But between that time frame, Satan is the ruler. And so, in Satan's world, these things cost. So with these things in mind, let's prepare ourselves for the offertory by prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the use you've made of this humble assembly. And we pray now you'll receive the offerings that we're about to give, that you'll continue to use these offerings to bring honor and glory to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, even Jesus Christ our Savior. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Does anyone not have Redeem the Time? The handout. Does anyone not have it? Everyone have your copy? Okay, that's good. Let's begin with the word of prayer. Purpose of the prayer? Test yourself. See if you're trusting in the Holy Spirit, who is a true teacher. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful and thankful for the Word of God. But Heavenly Father, if it were not for your Spirit, we would be no better off. It is, Heavenly Father, the illuminating ministry of the Holy Spirit that allows us to understand in truth your Word. We pray now your Spirit will open our eyes to things you would have us to see and understand. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay. It would be better not to embarrass myself and just let this pass, but I'm not going to do that. An old friend of mine from many years ago, I used to travel with Theme, and I met a wonderful guy that set up the conference in Washington, and he's here with us. Tell everybody your name. Archer, all right. And he's visiting with us, and glad to have you all here this morning. Okay. Redeem the time. Colossians chapter 4, verse 5. I have chosen, and have already explained why, the King James translation rather than the New American Standard, because the King James takes the words that are in the literal Greek. Walk in wisdom toward those that are without, redeeming the time. Walk in wisdom. Now, open the Bibles. This, you're going to have to open your Bible because this isn't on this. Open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Or Kit will put it up here on the board for you. Ephesians 5, verse 2. Walk in love. Walk in love. Walk in wisdom. People, love without wisdom is dangerous. Wisdom without love is empty. Never in American history has it been as challenging as it is today to live a Christian life, and never more needed. We saw last week our President Obama, 5 days before elected, and I played his speech for you, a fundamental transformation. What that meant was a change in culture. A fundamental change in our culture. You cannot have same-sex marriage in a Judeo-Christian culture. You cannot have all of the things that are going on today in a Judeo-Christian culture. He had to change the culture. It's not going to be long before a child born will know nothing about a Judeo-Christian culture. It is going. We are losing it. The House of our government just passed what is called the Equality Act, which is a horrible misnomer. It is totally opposed to a Judeo-Christian culture. Church can no longer hire even a pastor because he doesn't agree with your theology. If your theology is biblical and you do not support, for an example, homosexuality, you cannot not hire a man because of that. You cannot not hire a woman. If somebody wants to take you to court, they can take you to court. Secondly, it encourages suppression of religious freedom. The LGBTQ, all that stuff, they are resting on the assurance that this will eliminate Christianity, a Judeo-Christian culture. Third, it is going to obliterate all of the advancement that women's liberation has made. It is going to completely take it out. All those years and frustrations and things going on by both women and people that were anti their movement, all of that's all over with this passing of this bill. And then finally, it is going to affect the kids unbelievably. The government will have authority over the medical seeing of your children. If you do not want a medical procedure and the doctor says you'll have it, you will have it. The government now steps in, tells you how you will rear your children. This is where we are headed in our country and in our society. A complete change, a fundamental transformation. His own words. And what he meant was change the culture. That's what had to be changed from a Judeo-Christian culture to a pagan culture. That's where we are in America today. Now the question is, the Christian, how are we to live in this culture, this now pagan culture? It's easy for a Christian, it was easy, to live in a Judeo-Christian culture. But how is the Christian to live in a pagan-run culture? Walk in wisdom, walk in love. You've got to walk in both of them. Most Christians know about the command, walk in love. But people, love without wisdom is dangerous and destructive. Many women have married a man out of love and no wisdom and lived to regret it the day after they married. You've got to have love with wisdom. And wisdom without love is empty. It is not wisdom. So a Christian's got to learn today, more than any other time in American history, how to walk in love and in wisdom. So let's continue and look at our study this morning. Most thoughtful parents spend time teaching their children about such things as how to dress properly, especially little girls, and how to talk, words they should use and not use, how to take care of hygiene, brush their teeth, bathing, taking care of their hair and so forth, manners, being thoughtful of others, being thoughtful of older people, police, teachers. Teach little boys how to be gentlemen, little girls how to be ladies. Teach their children to study, and in some homes, being responsible. How to be responsible people, young people. How to properly handle weapons, guns, rifles, knives, bows and arrows, darts. How important in Christian homes to teach about Jesus Christ. In our 9:15 class, we studied how Christ wants to cause believers to know Him. He desires to reveal Himself to you, but He can't. Because even though you are a Christian, you don't allow Him to reveal Himself to you. You've got to desire for Christ to reveal Himself to you before He will reveal Himself to you. And so many Christians are just too busy. They've got this to do, and they've got that to do, and they've got television, they can't go to Bible class, they've got work, they've got fun, they've got pleasure. One of the great problems in America is that capitalism has worked. It has worked wonderfully. There is a lot of money to go around. The problem is the churches have failed to keep up with capitalism, to keep up with a spiritual moral code. And therefore, we are in great trouble today in America. Now, all these teaching a child how to live, how to walk, that's the biblical word, walk, how to live. But it is the responsibility of every pastor teacher to carefully teach and teach repetition how the Christian, how one who has believed in Jesus Christ is to walk, how they're to live their daily life. The pulpit has failed us and is failing us right now. One of the reasons the Equality Act passed is because churches and preachers have failed. We have failed in so many different ways. Few pastors want to spend their time studying the Greek, studying the Hebrew, studying the Aramaic, and then teaching it. They don't want to call things what they're called in the Word of God. They want to please everybody. Don't want to offend anybody. Wednesday nights we're studying Ezekiel. Unbelievable study. Unbelievable. This man is called to do unbelievable things. Why does he do them? We're going to see why in our studies. So, it is up to the pastors and churches to get back to the Word of God. Get back to the study and teaching of the Word of God. Now, it is in the spiritual life, there are things that are fundamental to walking in the Christian life. First and foremost, fundamental is to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:16, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. 5:25, since we live by the Spirit, first walk by the Spirit, since we live by the Spirit, let us walk by the Spirit, that is, let us walk in step with the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:4, so that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but walk according to the Holy Spirit. First, so, the first instruction to the Christian walk is to walk by the power and leading of the Holy Spirit. This, of course, requires what? This requires you know how to be filled with the Holy Spirit by grace through faith. Not by works, but by grace through faith. See? That's the great issue. Most Christians don't know how to be filled with the Holy Spirit by grace. They want to do something. They want to yield. They want to confess. They want to do this. They want to do that. No, people, our salvation set the pattern on how to be filled with the Spirit in life. As unbelievers, alienated from God, how did we enter into His plan? How did we receive the Holy Spirit? How did we receive the filling of the Holy Spirit? Galatians chapter 3, by faith. So in our Christian life, when we sin, we're out of fellowship. We're just as we were when we were unbelievers. How did we act as unbelievers? By faith. Nothing the flesh can do. Nothing the flesh can do. Nothing! It's by faith. And the same thing is true for gaining the Holy Spirit. But few Christians know that. Why are Christians having poor impact in America, in the world today? Few Christians know how to be filled with the Holy Spirit by grace through faith. Even those who know how to be saved by grace through faith don't know how to be filled with the Spirit by grace through faith. It's a shame. And it shows. We are a weak body of Christ throughout the world today because we don't know how to tap in to the power of the Holy Spirit. Second, this brings us to the second point of the Christian walk. Walk by faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Colossians 2:6, therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. How did you receive Him as Lord? How? By faith. Don't let anybody tell you anything else. Not baptism, not yielding, not confession, not promising you'll do good, not going to church, not changing your moral life. By faith and faith alone. As you have received Him, walk. We walk by faith. So that's how we walk, simply by faith. Be it now understood that all the following spheres of the Christian walk can be done only in the power of the Holy Spirit by faith. So first it has to be in the Holy Spirit by faith. They go together. Now we're ready for the third. Walk in the newness of life. Romans 6:4. Therefore, we have been buried with Him through baptism into death, so that, there's that key word, I love it, don't ever speed read past those words, so that, as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in the newness of life. People, you have to understand what happened when you believed in Christ as Savior. That's what we're going to hit these kids with this summer. Who am I? Who am I? Now that you're in Christ, who are you? You've got to know you're different. I mean different. You're so different from when you were as an unbeliever. You've got to know that. And that means your life is different. How you live, how you walk, how you talk, how you think, what you do with your time is so different. So, we are born from above, John 3:3. We are born again, 1 Peter 1:23. That is, now,
buried with Him through baptism into death. Is that symbolically?
No. That's baptism of the Holy Spirit the moment you believe in Christ. Okay? Alright, so, we have been born again. That is, born again is the 1 Peter passage. Born from above is the John 3 passage. Now, we should no longer walk as we did as unbelievers. Ephesians 2:1, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins. Ephesians 2:2, in which you formerly walked, according to, 1, the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Remember, Satan's in rule. Satan has been in rule since Adam and Eve left the garden. Satan is in rule. We had theology proper, theology God rule in the garden. But from the garden up until the millennial reign of Christ begins, it is Satan ruling. Theology proper begins again when Christ is in rule in the millennial reign. And then the three of the Spirit, that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Ephesians. Yes.
I'm kind of still stuck with what Mark was asking.
Yeah, I'm stuck too.
Well, let's say that we talk about baptism, right, and the new life, right, the newness. If there's a newness, it means that there's an old stuff prior to new, right?
Okay, this is a spiritual baptism. It's not water baptism. When we believe in Jesus Christ as Savior,
okay,
we are baptized into Christ. There are people that teach that this is part of salvation. Baptism is part of salvation. When you go under, you die with Christ, come up out of the water, you're raised with Christ, new life, and that's salvation. That is a false gospel. Now, the teaching is true. When I baptize someone, I say buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk with Him in the newness of life. But that part is symbolic. But in the passage, it is talking about our literal baptism in Christ. One of the 34 things that the Holy Spirit does is baptizes us in Christ. It's one of the 34 things you receive at the point of salvation.
There it goes. Okay.
So it is physical, but not physical as body physical. It's spiritually physical.
It's spiritual, not physical. Okay. Any other question on that? I didn't know we were going to get into that. Okay. Now, Ephesians 2:3, among them we too formerly lived in the lust of the flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest of them. Now, here's the beautiful thing here. Ephesians 2:3, that's how you and I were. And that's how we are when you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. We studied six things that happened to our flesh nature, continually being corrupted. When you accept, I accepted Christ at 7, I'm now 77. For 70 years, my sin nature has been continually corrupted. My inherited sin nature, continually been corrupted. This is what happens. And this is why faith is the battle. Faith is the battle because faith is opposed to our flesh nature. The basic instinct of man is not sex. The basic instinct of man is to work and be rewarded for that work. That's the basic instinct. That's how we rear our children. That's how people interpret the gospel. You've got to do something in order for God to save you. It's a basic instinct of man. This is studied in the book of Jude. Basic instinct of man is to do and be rewarded. Therefore, it is opposed to simple faith. This is why people change the gospel. You've got to do something for God to save you. People, this is why we've got a little booklet out there. This is why people want to invite Jesus into your heart. That's nowhere in the Bible for our gospel. Why is it so popular? Because I get to be part of the gospel. I get to do something. I get to invite Him into my heart. It's so appealing. Why do people want to add for spirituality? You've got to confess. You've got to yield. You've got to do. We want to be part of the equation. Just to believe is not enough. The people before God, that's all He wants. I told you so many times, we're the witness for angels. We're the lower creatures teaching the higher creatures of angels. And when we offer God our hand with our works in it, we offer God our baptism. We offer God our morality. We offer God our change of life. We offer God our mental change, our confessions, all that. And we lift it. The angels look at that and they say, look at God. Is that going to be enough? But people, when you and I go to God and we have nothing in our hand but simple faith, there's nothing for them to look at but God. Is that going to be enough? Is that all that you want? Is simple faith? And you're going to save them forever? You're going to give them the power of your Spirit? You're going to bless them through life? If they just believe, is that enough? And the answer is absolutely. Why? Because that praises God. That means He does all the work for salvation, spirituality, Christian life. He does everything. So therefore, requires nothing but our faith. But Ephesians 2:3 explains why. It's the power of our flesh nature. Also Ephesians 4:17, Colossians 3:5-7. But now that we've believed in Christ as Savior, we're new creatures in Christ. We're to walk, live according to our new birth. From above, born again and born from above. And then the fourth, worthy of who we are in Christ. Ephesians 4:1. Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling which you have been called. Colossians 1:10. We continually pray for you so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit of every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. People, our life changes. It should change when you believe in Christ. You're in a new family. I don't keep up with royalty. I'm so thankful in America we didn't bring over the king and queen stuff. We don't kiss hands down here and all that kind of stuff. But I'll tell you what, they had their tradition. And he married an American girl. She now says, I don't care about America, about English royal tradition for hundreds of years. She's changed a lot of it. And the queen is upset. And I agree with the queen. When you marry into certain things, there are certain rules. You go into the body of Christ, people, there are now rules that you have to walk by the Spirit, walk by faith, walk by wisdom, His wisdom that's from above. See? You got to learn, now that you're in Christ, you're a new person. Think about it. Know it. Live it. In your marriage, in your single life, in every area of your being. See, we are new people in Christ. Next, we come to two spheres of the Christian walk that are directly related to our study in Colossians chapter 4. Fifth, walk in love. And sixth, walk in wisdom. I'm putting them together. Every born-again believer is to walk in love. Ephesians 5:2. And walk in love. Just as. There's that just as now. It's not a love that you think it should be. See, we all have our ideal of what love is. It doesn't matter what your ideal is. If your ideal is noble, ignoble, self, sacrifice, it doesn't matter. It's what God defines love that matters. That's the great issue. Just as Christ also loved you and gave Himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. Almost everyone knows this, that we are to walk in love. We're to live in love. But the problem is that many do not understand or know the love that the Word of God commands us to walk. This is not love from the flesh. This is not just the way you or any individual thinks love ought to be. This is the way love acts. And by this they mean whatever they think it means. No, people. Love is not whatever you think it is or should be. Let's add to walking in love, well, our study in Colossians 4, walk in wisdom. Ephesians 5:15, therefore be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise. So people, right up front you got to know two things. Besides knowing you got to walk in love, walk in wisdom, you got to know what love is. You got to know what wisdom is. You got to know how to get that love. You got to know how to get that wisdom. The love is spiritual love. I call it spiritual love because it's of the Holy Spirit in a new spiritual creature and has spiritual impact. Therefore, there are spiritual gifts, spiritual love. Only a born-again believer can manifest spiritual love. Only a born-again believer filled with the Holy Spirit can manifest spiritual love. You've got to know how to be filled with the Spirit. Love is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. But wisdom? People, not only do you need the filling of the Spirit, but for this wisdom, you've got to have continual understanding of the Word of God. You've got to grow in the wisdom of Scripture. So, walk in wisdom, and then Ephesians 5:15, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, When you walk in wisdom, you walk in love. When you walk in love, you should walk in wisdom. That is in spiritual love. Love poured into you by the Holy Spirit and spiritual wisdom. Look at Colossians 1:9. For this reason also, since the day we heard it, we do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom. Spiritual love, spiritual wisdom. Wisdom given to you from the Bible by the power of the Holy Spirit and understanding. People, love without wisdom is destructive. I use a base example. Many women have married out of love, no wisdom, and live to regret it. You've got to have wisdom. It's a wise parent who teaches, even in the human realm, to mix wisdom with your love, to love with wisdom. Wisdom without love is empty. James tells us there are two sources of wisdom, one from God and the other from man. You have two sources of wisdom. Now, we've already done it. I was going to do it again, but I decided not to. We could go back to the first book God gave us. The first book God gave us was Job. And one of the most important things in Job, where can wisdom be found? Where is it to be found? Only God knows. Only God knows where wisdom can be found. So if you want true wisdom, you've got to go to God. But James puts it in 3:13, who among you is wise and understanding? Me, I am. Well, be careful before you raise your hand. Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy, selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. It's earthly, it's from your flesh nature, it's from Satan. Verse 16, for where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. But there's that word, don't speed repass past that. That's always a warner, kicker. There's the butt clause. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy, good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. Now, I'm taking the Colossians 4 study into where we are today. The challenge to Christians in a fundamental transformation of America Judeo-Christian culture. How are we supposed to live? How are we supposed to act? How are we supposed to act? Same-sex marriage. Churches where men can go into little girls' bathrooms and it's supported by our government. I love our building. I used to hate that we had to meet in a small building, but we get to go in and lock the door. So no guy's going to follow a little girl into our restrooms. But in a big church, if a man wants to walk in to a lady's restroom, if this thing passes, it's over. They can go in. How are we supposed to live? See, my flesh nature, let me tell you what my flesh nature says do. Pack and be ready to use. Pack a 45, pack whatever weapon size you like. Carry it and be ready to use it. On the other side, if you're left, right-handed, if you're left-handed, a knife. And then tie to your belt a nice little billy club. And that's how you handle all of these issues. But you know what? The Word of God says no. That's not wisdom. That's not love. How are we supposed to live and act in this world that we're getting ready to move into? Look at verse 17. Pure, peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy, good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy, wisdom. Think how to handle these things. See? If you need to put a lock on every little girl's restroom, put a lock. Use wisdom. Use wisdom. Walk in wisdom in this world that's evil, that's anti-biblical, anti-Christ, anti-you if you're in Christ. What does love plus wisdom look like in a human relationship? 2 Thessalonians 3:10. For even when we were with you, we used to give you this order. If anyone is not willing to work, then he does not eat either. That's wisdom. How can that be love? Let me ask you something. We have a picnic. We bring food. Nobody doesn't want to work. And we say, you don't get to eat. And another Christian says, wait a minute, what kind of love is that? Can you refuse food to somebody who's hungry and still say you walk in love? Yes, I walk in wisdom. Wisdom has love. Love has wisdom. People, you've got to combine them both now. The challenge for the Christian walk has never been more detrimental and more powerfully oriented than it is today. You've got to walk in wisdom. You've got to walk in love. Love doesn't mean you condone everything. Love doesn't mean you accept everything. Not by any standard stretch of the imagination. We've got to add spiritual wisdom with it. There are those Christians who would protest if even a lazy person who refuses to work was hungry. Feed him! That is love without wisdom. God does not sponsor socialism. People, we must be wise in our understanding and practice of love. In this context, love provides something that everyone or anyone can actually do and then reward, pay every person who works. This is the principle of the gospel. God loves everyone who will be in the eternal lake of fire. Have you ever thought of that? A person is suffering in eternal lake of fire forever and ever, and he's loved by God. The issue is not being loved. The issue is benefiting from that love. There's the great issue. For in this manner, God loved the world. Don't ever forget the beginning of John 3:16. In this manner, God loved the world. Direction of His love, the world. The magnitude of His love, that He gave His only begotten Son. That's the magnitude of it. The effect or the impact of it, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you reject it, you don't have everlasting life. It's that simple, people. I don't know that we need to get back to hellfire and brimstone preaching, but maybe we do. Maybe the world has forgotten. Nahum chapter 1, the wrath of God. God is a righteous God, people. Don't ever forget that, please. Emphasize His love, but don't ever forget His righteousness. And righteousness never sets aside love. Love never overcomes or supersedes the righteousness. Love satisfies the righteousness, and that's what Christ did on the cross. But you please understand, wisdom is essential. We were unrighteous. We were His enemies. And God loved us. God wanted to have a relationship with us. So, the wisdom of God, let me figure this out now. I cannot just save everyone because they're unrighteous. My righteousness will not allow that. So, in wisdom, He said, how can I do this? Well, what I can do is send one innocent of sin to pay for all the sins of the world and then offer salvation, justification, imputation of righteousness to anyone who believes. I've satisfied my love requirement, my righteous requirement with my love. That's why Satan hates the love of Christ. Satan cannot understand it. Satan cannot duplicate it. Satan hates it. He hates the love of God. Because the love of God figured out a way to save all mankind. But it tells man to respond. It's a shame that right after Martin Luther set Christianity free with the Reformation, Satan couldn't let that happen. He could not allow that to happen. So he went over to Switzerland and got John Calvin to say people are elect. And he countered the truth of grace. And that is sweeping a lot of churches today. Calvinism. People, you've got to stay with wisdom. You've got to stay with an understanding of God and how God operates and how God functions. It's the principle of the gospel. God loves everyone who will be in the lake of fire forever. The issue is to be benefited by His love. Are you benefited by the love of Christ? There are many men who are not benefited by the love of their wife. They're too arrogant. They're too busy. There are many women who do not benefit by the love of their husband. They're too self-centered. They're too busy. People, you've got to let Christ reveal Himself to you. We studied this in our 9:15 class. He wants to. Christ wants to reveal Himself to every one of us. If He doesn't, it's our fault, not His. We're too busy. We're too busy to walk by faith in the Spirit. We're too busy to spend time in the Word of God. We're just too busy. So He doesn't reveal Himself. He's a gentleman. If a woman doesn't want to respond to the man, he's like, gentlemen, okay, I'll leave you alone. Then there's another woman who wants to know him, wants to know about him. Who's he going to reveal himself to? This knockout beautiful woman who doesn't care at all for him? Or this woman over here who wants to know him and wants to reveal herself to him? See, that's Christ. It doesn't matter who and what you are. If you want Him in you and to reveal Himself to you, He wants to. He wants to reveal Himself. We studied that this morning in John chapter 14. See? This is the principle of the gospel that we're seeing. So first is, we Spirit-filled believers will love both unbelievers and believers. But whether or not they're benefited by the love is dependent upon them, people. Love, because, you know, we got a wrong idea about love. We have this idea, I love you, therefore do what I say. I love you, therefore I must control you. My love will control you. No, people. That isn't love. That isn't love. He loves us, regardless. Now, whether or not we want to be benefited by His love, that's entirely up to us on a faith decision. Entirely up to us. He gives us the Holy Spirit. By grace. He gives us the filling of the Holy Spirit by grace. But it's up to us whether we'll take advantage of it. See? Let us note a human example. Many men are loved by a woman, but they are not benefited by that love because they refuse to love her. They refuse her love. Many ladies are loved by a man, but are not benefited by that love because they refuse his love. In favor of someone else's love or something else. Spiritual love, or love that comes from the Holy Spirit, does not accept or condone sin. 1 Corinthians 13:6, spiritual love does not rejoice in unrighteousness. So many people today think that love accepts you no matter your lifestyle, adulterer, fornicator, homosexual, pedophile. That's not true. And any and all of these are welcomed into our assembly to learn the truth, to overcome these sinful patterns, but certainly not to continue in them. We don't condone it, appraise them in continuing that sinful pattern. We're ready to help them come out of it. 2 Thessalonians 3:5. May the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the steadfastness of Christ. Now, we command you, brethren, believers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from every brother who leads an unruly life and not according to the tradition which you have received from us. How much simpler can it be? Stay away from them. Separation. Do you have the courage to love Jesus Christ? See, having the courage to love the world is easy. Nobody's going to be upset with you. But do you have the courage to love Jesus Christ? That separates you from the world. Do you have that courage? The tradition of the Roman Catholic Church teaches that absolute truth is derived from the Word of God and tradition. This is not so. The Greek word translated tradition is from the Greek word which means to deliver in teaching. And our word in our passage means doctrine, the injunctions taught. This verse describes love of the Lord over love of one who practices a lifestyle that is not in keeping with the doctrines taught in the Word of God. Therefore, the challenge this morning. Do you have the courage to love the Lord? Walk in love, but do you have the courage to love the Lord? Many Christians have the courage to love the world, because then the world will not hate them. But the challenge from the Bible is, do you have the courage to love the Lord? Jesus tells us in John 15 that if you love Him, you'll be hated by the world. Do you have the courage to love Him and be hated by the world? To love those who choose the world and live the way the world accepts and even encourages will not cost you anything in the world. But, oh people, to love Jesus Christ by the power of the Spirit will cost you. And the cost is getting bigger in America. Cost you friends, maybe relatives, maybe jobs. Do you have the courage to love the Lord? I'm one of those that are at the belief that we're nearing the end of the time of the age of the Gentiles. The tribulation, God, I'm thankful He's going to take us out, because they're going to be under a real challenge. Do you love the Lord? Or do you want the sign of the beast, the 666, so you can work? Just so you can work. So you can go buy your family food. People loving the Lord is going to cost big time in the tribulation period. It's costing more and more as we come near that period. But even loving the Lord requires wisdom from above. Colossians 4:5, walk in wisdom toward those that are without. Actually, this is the Greek adverb used as a substantive with the definite article meaning the ones outside. It comes from a small compound meaning out, without, as opposed to within. This refers to all unbelievers who are in need of information on how to be saved, and you have that information. You have it. You don't have to be a PhD. You don't have to have a degree. You have the answer that every unbeliever needs. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved forever. All you have to do is believe. Simple faith. You don't have to be a psychiatrist. What you need is Christ. What you need is the Holy Spirit. What you need is the Word of God. Go to Bible class rather than a movie. Be filled with the Spirit by grace through faith. You have the source. You have the answer. You have everything they need. 1 Corinthians 10:32 refers to three classes of humans on earth. 1 Corinthians 10:32. Give no offense either to Jews, Gentiles, or to the Church of God. The human population is made up of Jews, Gentiles, and Christians, in the church age called Christians. To the unbelieving Jews, unbelieving Gentiles, who are on the outside, we walk in wisdom in regard to those who are on the outside. Question. Outside of what? Outside of the body of Christ. Outside of the family of God. And the reason they are on the outside is not because they've chosen some horrible lifestyle, but because they have chosen to refuse the love offering of God. That is, His Son. They refuse to believe in Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. They refuse to be born into the family of God. And I'm going to tell you something. The day is quickly coming when you tell people that, you're a hate monger. You're telling hate. To tell somebody they can spend eternity in a lake of fire, you're guilty of hate. Not love. Hate. We've got to walk in wisdom. Peter did. Peter told the authorities, if I'm wrong in serving Christ, it's up to you. You want to kill me? Do it. I have no other choice than to speak for Christ. You've got to make up your mind, people. Do you have the courage to love Jesus Christ? See? Question. Why the necessity of walking in wisdom in reference to those who are non-Christians? Why is that important? Why is it important to walk in love and walk in wisdom toward non-Christians? In the new commandment given by Jesus Christ in John chapter 13, to love one another is a command to love others of the same kind. That is, we are to love other believers. But this command in Colossians 4:5 is a direct command in respect to our relationship with unbelievers. We are to walk in wisdom. This means we are to interact with them, where they will be receptive to the saving gospel of Jesus Christ. Job, where is wisdom? We saw last week how America is under a fundamental transformation. Well, not all Americans are buying into the change of our culture into a culture that encourages behavior that is an abomination to Christian behavior. If you are going to encourage Americans to accept and embrace this kind of behavior, you must change this culture. That's what they're doing today. That's what Obama promised. He succeeded. And that's what the House of Democrats are doing today. They've got to change the culture. If they're going to have same-sex marriage, if they're going to have men in women's restrooms, if they're going to allow all of these things to happen, if they're going to take money from those who know how to work and give it to those who don't want to do anything, you've got to change the culture. That's not a Judeo-Christian culture. It's simple. Change the culture if you're going to change America. So this culture must be changed. And this is exactly what Obama promised when he was president under the banner of a fundamental transformation. While this is wisdom from man, it is not wisdom from above. This is wisdom from man, which is alarmingly described. Now I'm going to do some reading in Romans. We've read it before, but let's just read through and see. Beginning in Romans 1:22, I'm not going to repeat the verses. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and incur and exchange the glory of an incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and a four-footed animal and crawling creatures. And people, yes, America is quickly becoming an idolatrous nation. It's already filled with idolatry. Every time you pass a Roman Catholic church that worships Mary, that's idolatry. America is already saturated with idolatry. Verse 24, therefore, God gave them over to the lust of their hearts, to impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. What goes on in your soul affects your body. A tattooed soul leads to a tattooed body. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever and amen. For this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions. What's happening in America? Verse 26. Pure and simply, God gave them over to degrading passions, for the women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. And in the same way also, the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire toward one another, men with men, committing indecent acts, receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. Penalty. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind, not capable of even recognizing wisdom from above, to do those things which are not proper, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They're gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. And although they know, this is what's terrible, they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only practice them, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them. But not everyone is going to give in to this cultural change. They're looking for another solution. And oh dear people, you have it. You have it. What they're looking for. In the grocery store. On a plane. At work. There are human beings who are not buying into it, but they don't know where to go. And you have the answer. Are you so stingy you don't want to share it? Are you so uncaring, unloving, that you don't want them to know? There are people looking for the answer, and you have it. Deuteronomy 4:6. So, keep and do them, the things of wisdom from above. For that is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples, who will hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation, and in this case, body of Christ, is a wise and understanding people. That's why you want to walk in wisdom and love. They'll see it, and they're going to say, something's different about you. You're not buying into all of this stuff. Why not, and what do you have? Only now in the church age, they will be saying, and that of Christians who love in wisdom. It is remarkable the number of Muslims turning to the love of Christ in the Middle East, or the number of Chinese under communist rule turning to Jesus Christ, and the Chinese government doesn't know what to do about it. So don't worry about the voices of Satan who attack love and wisdom. Many Christians know the nine fruit of the Holy Spirit of Galatians 5, but it's those closing words I want to leave you in your mind. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit, that's why you want to know how to receive the power of the Spirit by faith. It's love, spiritual love, joy, peace, inner happiness, inner peace, regardless of the outer circumstances, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and I want to leave you with these closing words. Against such things, there is no law. People, there is no law under communism, socialism, against you and I walking by faith in the Holy Spirit and living by the power of the Spirit and being guided by the Spirit. Therefore, Colossians 4, 5, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, that is unbelievers. Now the powerful closing words, redeeming the time. Redeeming, this is a present middle participle of a compound verb meaning to redeem. The word is derived from the preposition ek, meaning out from, plus the verb agorazo, meaning to buy. The verb means to buy, to ransom, to redeem. Of course, it is used of our redemption through Christ, from the curse of the law and of sin. The present tense means that we must be ready to walk in wisdom toward the unbeliever at any moment. Whenever we come in contact with an unbeliever, this means we are to walk moment by moment in the power of the leading of the Spirit by faith. Oh, the middle voice emphasizes that you are the agent of giving the outsider, the unbeliever, this good news of the gospel. And the participle corresponds with the imperative to walk. When the believer is walking in wisdom, you're redeeming the time. Walk in wisdom, redeeming the time. But what we are redeeming in our passage, time. People, time is so precious. When you get old, as Jim Langston is, you realize how precious time is. And oh, if I could only have back the time I spent in my teens, in my 20s, and on and on. Time. People ask for time. I don't have time for that. Your husband wants something, your wife, I don't have time. Time. So valuable. So important. The Complete Word Study Dictionary of the New Testament states, in reference to this word, season. Opportune time. It is not merely, continuing now, it is not merely a succession of minutes, which is chronos, but a period of opportunity, though not necessity. There is really no English equivalent to the word kairos. So in our study, this word is used in a double reference, my opinion. First, the opportune time of your life in history. People, each one of us only have so much time. You may think, since you're young, I'm 40, I have a long time. Oh, who told you so? Time is running out for all of us. And then secondly, time running out in the church age. I think we're near the end of the time of the Gentiles, the end of the church age. So a quick summary in the closing moments. In context, redeeming the time refers to the believer's responsibility to the unbelievers he comes in contact with daily. Redeem the time this afternoon. Restaurant, work, wherever you go, shopping. Redeem the time. Two, the mandate of this verse is defined in 2 Corinthians 5:16. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know Him in this way no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, by faith in Christ Jesus, I didn't write it, this is the Word of God. How are you in Christ? By faith. in Jesus Christ as Savior. How are you in the Holy Spirit? By faith. Faith, that's what God is looking for. Not your works. Not your verbal works of confession, your mental works of repentance. What's your faith? He is a new creature. That's what you are. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. If one is not in Christ, he is outside of Christ. Verse 18, now, all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ. Now look, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That's why we're to walk in wisdom. Namely, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world, unbelievers, those outside, to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. Why? Because Christ bore them on the cross. And he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. That's your wisdom. That's your wisdom. People, we're not here to preach against homosexuality, same-sex marriage, men and women's restroom, all these kind of things. That doesn't save anybody. We're here to reconcile them to Christ. Walk in wisdom. Walk in love. Be ready to give the gospel. Verse 20, therefore we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us, which he is. We beg you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. This is walking in wisdom toward those who are outside. He made him, he, God the Father, made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God. Never forget righteousness. That is fundamental to the gospel. There are two parts to the gospel, a negative and a positive. The negative, your sins taken away. Christ bore them on the cross. The positive, imputation of righteousness to make you like God, justified. Two parts, the negative and the positive. A lot of people emphasize the negative, the removal of sins. But all people, without that positive side, no salvation. It's the imputation of that righteousness, justification, that you're saved forever. Point three, the Christian life has three directions of responsibility toward the Godhead. Toward God the Holy Spirit by faith, Jesus Christ, to love him, to love as he loved, and to be a witness of him. God the Father, effective prayer life. Effective prayer life, all day long praying, entering that invisible warfare. Secondly, toward others, toward believers, love them as Christ loved. Toward unbelievers, walk in wisdom, witnessing to them of Christ. This is where how we dress, speak, and act in public becomes a matter of wisdom. This life is characterized by ready to forgive all who are forgiven in Christ Jesus, Ephesians 4:32, and by the Greek word makrothumia, which is long-suffering toward the others in life. Three, toward life itself, which is characterized by the Greek word upomone, which refers to patience in regard to all the difficulties that occur in life. Four, redeeming the time is essential for every believer. Not waste time in our lives. A current analogy is the high school student or college student taking final exams now. They know how to redeem the time. They know how. I call up my graduate, let's go eat. I can't, Papa, I got to study. I got a final Thursday morning. I got a final this week. That's redeeming the time. I've only got so much time. Now, I don't give them a lecture how they could have done it all along, but they're not ready for my lectures. But what I'm talking here is redeeming the time. They know how to redeem the time. I've only got so many hours, and then I got to take a final exam that will determine my grade. You got to understand, redeeming the time. In the Christian life, we can waste time on things of this world, or we can redeem time by spending beneficial time on things above. Colossians 3, 1 and 2. Therefore, since you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things of earth. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the words that your Spirit has made alive to us. I pray, Father, your Spirit could use the things we've seen this morning to the honor and glory of Christ. I pray these things will be challenges to us in living at a time when our Judeo-Christian society is under transformation to paganism. Give us wisdom from your Spirit that we may make of this command to walk in wisdom. We pray these things in Christ's name and for his eternal glory. Amen.